Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Welcome back to our journey through Western moral philosophy. Today, we enter the twilight of the ancient world to meet a man whose life reads like a tragedy, but whose philosophy became a beacon for centuries. His name is Anicius Manlius Severinus Boethius, remembered simply as Boethius. A Roman aristocrat, scholar, and high official, Boethius was at the pinnacle of power in Theodoric the Ostrogoth's court, until fortune turned against him. Condemned to prison and facing execution, he wrote a book that would outlive kingdoms, The Consolation of Philosophy. In it, he asks timeless questions. What is happiness? What can we cling to when life collapses? And how do reason and faith console us in suffering?
Boethius was born in 480 CE in Italy, just as the Western Roman Empire had breathed its last. Rome had fallen to Germanic kings, and Italy was ruled by the Ostrogothic leader Theodoric. Yet Boethius's family, the noble gens Anicia, still carried the prestige of Rome's old senatorial class. Raised in this environment, Boethius was steeped in both Roman tradition and Greek philosophy. From an early age, he studied Plato and Aristotle, the Stoics and Cicero, with the dream of preserving their wisdom for Latin readers. He set himself a monumental goal, to translate the works of Aristotle into Latin and show their harmony with Plato. Though he never completed the task, his translations and commentaries became the medieval world's primary access to Greek philosophy. But Boethius was not only a scholar, he was a man of action. By the age of 30, he was serving as consul, one of the highest honors in the Roman state. Later he rose to Magister Officiorum, chief of Theodoric's civil service, controlling administration and policy. He seemed destined to embody the old Roman ideal of the philosopher-statesman, learned, virtuous, and powerful. But fortune's wheel is always turning. In 523 CE, Boethius was accused of plotting against Theodoric. The charge was treason, perhaps fabricated by jealous rivals. Whatever the truth, the outcome was swift. Boethius was arrested, stripped of his offices, and confined. Once honored as Rome's brightest intellectual and political light, he now found himself isolated, awaiting execution. In this prison cell, Boethius experienced despair. He had devoted himself to justice and the public good, and yet he was betrayed and condemned. His family was kept from him, his honor destroyed. It seemed the world was ruled by chaos and injustice. But instead of surrendering to bitterness, Boethius turned to what had always been his refuge, philosophy. From the silence of his cell came a masterpiece, The Consolation of Philosophy. The book begins with Boethius lamenting his fate, composing poetry of grief. Suddenly, he envisions a majestic woman entering his cell. She is Lady Philosophy, personified as a wise healer. Towering and serene, she banishes the muses of sorrow who had been encouraging Boethius's complaints. "They only feed your sickness," she tells him. "You need medicine, not tears." Lady Philosophy then begins her therapy. She reminds Boethius of the fickle nature of fortune. "Fortune," she says, "is like a wheel that raises men up one moment and casts them down the next. Did you think power, wealth, and honor were yours by right? No, they were loans, and fortune always reclaims her gifts. If you trusted her, you deceived yourself." Philosophy then guides Boethius step by step from despair to insight. She teaches that true happiness cannot be found in the shifting goods of this world: wealth, fame, office, pleasure. These are fleeting, fragile, and external. The only secure happiness lies in the highest good, the possession of virtue, wisdom, and closeness to God, who is pure goodness itself. Power and fortune are unstable. One who builds his life on them is destined for suffering when they are taken away. Boethius learns that to rest happiness on wealth or status is to make oneself a slave to fortune's whims. The only good truly ours is moral character. A just man in chains is freer than a tyrant, because the tyrant is enslaved by fear and vice. In this, Boethius echoes Stoic ethics. Freedom lies not in circumstances, but in the mastery of one's soul. Philosophy argues that the wicked, in choosing vice, actually injure themselves most. They fall short of their true nature, which is oriented toward the good. Punishment, then, is not simple vengeance, but a medicine for the soul, an attempt to correct and heal. This humane vision of justice, centuries ahead of its time, would influence later Christian thinkers. How can humans be free if God foreknows all? Boethius answers that God stands outside time. He sees all history in one eternal present, but this doesn't impose necessity on our choices. Thus, we remain responsible. While God remains all-knowing, it's an elegant reconciliation that shaped medieval theology for centuries. What makes the consolation of philosophy so powerful is its style. It alternates between prose and poetry. Boethius pours out his heart in verse, then Lady Philosophy responds with rigorous arguments. This rhythm mirrors the healing process: grief, then reason, then rising insight. It is philosophy as therapy, written not for abstract speculation, but to console a suffering soul. The remarkable thing is that it works not only for Boethius, but for readers across centuries. We feel his pain, his sense of betrayal, and then we are lifted with him into serenity. Boethius did not escape his fate. In 524 CE, he was executed, brutally, according to some sources, by being beaten to death. Yet Lady Philosophy's promise proved true. Fortune could take his body, but not his wisdom. His consolation survived, copied and cherished throughout the Middle Ages. Kings like Alfred the Great translated it. Chaucer rendered it into English. Dante, in the Divine Comedy, placed Boethius among the blessed wise in paradise. For nearly 1,000 years, it was one of the most read books in Europe, second only to the Bible. It provided not only philosophical insight, but a guide to moral resilience in a turbulent world. What can we take from Boethius now? Perhaps the recognition that external success is always fragile. Careers collapse, fortunes fade, health fails. But if we ground happiness in wisdom, virtue, and friendship, in goods fortune cannot strip away, we remain free, even in adversity. Boethius shows us that philosophy can indeed console, that reason and reflection can transform despair into peace. His voice from the prison cell still whispers to us, "Do not trust fortune, but trust the goodness that lies within and above."
Thank you for listening. In our next episode, we will move deeper into the Middle Ages and encounter Thomas Aquinas, the friar who united Aristotle's philosophy with Christian theology. Each step brings us closer to the full flowering of medieval thought, where reason and faith walked hand in hand. Boethius left us in a prison cell, face to face with fortune and Lady Philosophy. Aquinas will meet us in the university halls, building a structure of reason and revelation. But before we leave Boethius, remember this. Philosophy is not only found in books, but sometimes in chains. His voice tells us that true happiness is not what we possess, but what we are. And even in the darkest hours, philosophy can bring light. Produced by Selenius Media and the Artificial Laboratory.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.